Here's three great reasons to get the new Samsung Galaxy S21 5G at T-Mobile. One, it's free for both current and new customers when you trade in an eligible device. Two, T-Mobile's the leader in 5G coverage. So, three, you can unleash 5G speeds in more places with your new phone. Get the new Galaxy S21 free at T-Mobile, the leader in 5G coverage.
Phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. If you cancel, credit stop and balance on required finance agreement may be due. Contact us. Qualifying credit and consumer plan required. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory. Know someone who is making an impact for God's kingdom using their gifts, talents, and passions? We'd love to meet them. Send us an email at podcast@giftsforglory.com. That's podcast@giftsglory.com. And now here is our host, Dave Ebert.
Hello, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the latest edition of the Gifts for Glory podcast. I'm so glad you're joining us. And I hope that you are doing well. I know that 2020, as we get to the final 6 weeks, has really been a trying year for many people. I know that we've had a lot of contention. We've had a lot of angst going on back and forth. So I am glad that you're taking some time away to just enjoy a great conversation that we have coming up here on the Gifts for Glory podcast. Today, we get to meet a phenomenal woman of God and a wonderful actress. Her name is Candace Kirkpatrick. Candace has a recurring role in the forthcoming second season of Vindication, a tremendous faith-based crime drama that's available on several streaming platforms, including PureFlix. We talk about acting and using our gifts, talents, and passions for God's glory, even when it might cost us what we think we're dreaming of. No matter what, though, God will honor those sacrifices, and He will give you an opportunity to bring Him honor and glory. Enjoy this wonderful conversation with our incredible sister in Christ coming up in just a moment. Now, you may have noticed that we have gone back to a weekly format. Over the last couple of months, I've had a really great opportunity to connect with amazing men and women of God. And in the biweekly format we had, some of these conversations were going to be held for several months if we didn't go to a weekly format, but I don't want to hold these conversations back. I want to share them with you, and I want more and more people to hear these great and amazing stories, including this week's with Candace Kirkpatrick. So I hope that you'll enjoy us going to a weekly format. We've got a really exciting series planned in January and a really great series also planned for February. In January, I want 2021 to start off with a really light note. So in January of 2021, we're going to kick off with 5 episodes, and every guest that we have is going to be a comedian. We're going to have some really great people, and I want to start off 2021 with a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, and a lot of hope. Because I know that this year has really been trying, and it's really been a challenge. So in January, we're going to do a comedy series just featuring some amazing men and women who are incredibly funny and have some really great stories. So be on the lookout for those coming up in January. And then in February, we're going to do something different. We're actually going to continue our weekly format. And each week in February, we're going to celebrate Black History Month, and we're going to have some amazing men and women of God to share their testimonies and their stories as we honor our Black brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. So those two series are coming up January and February of next year, hoping that 2021 can kick off in a much better way than 2020 has gone. Part of that is hope. We're going to jump right now into our Devotions with Dave segment. And I want to talk about hope these next 6 weeks as we wrap up the year. And for this week, I want to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now, rather we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. And I really think that verse 17 really nails it there. Verse 17 again says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." And I think it's very easy in 2020 and in life in general, whether or not we're having a pandemic or an election season or things like that, I think it's very easy to focus on the present troubles. But verse 17 speaks right to that when Paul says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Now, that's not to diminish anything you're going through. If you've lost somebody due to COVID, if you've lost a job or a business or a family member, or if there's been strife in your family over the election and you've lost friends or family members have written you off, whatever the case may be, I'm not minimizing those struggles. I'm not minimizing the pain you may have gone through this year. But what I am saying that when you think kingdom-mindedly, when you think about eternity, when you think about God and his enormity, you put that in relation to what we're going through now. And that's how Paul can write that. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Because eternity is immeasurable. So 80, 90, 120 years on this planet compared to eternity is not very long. It's like high school, your 4 years or 3 years or whatever it may be of high school compared to the rest of your life are not very long. So that's why Paul writes, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." And I say that scripture, and Paul wrote that scripture, not to diminish the struggles you're going through, but to put them into the perspective of looking at eternity, and eternity in the place of eternal hope with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, in heaven forever. So that's the perspective we need, and that gives us that hope. And as I mentioned, 2020 is a year we long to see in our rearview mirrors, let's be honest. I know that many of us have also had some good things happen this year, but in general, the attitude is, let's get this calendar out of here and let's go to the next year. We've all had some sort of loss. I don't think that that's an unsafe statement. We've all had some sort of loss. Some of us have had challenges, definitely had some sort of frustration. And whether it was the virus directly or indirectly, the response to the virus, the election, the violence, the riots, the way we treated each other throughout, we've all had moments this year, I'm sure, where we have lost a little bit of hope. The hope has lost a little bit of its shine. And we all, and I am talking directly to Christians, we've had moments where we took our eyes off Jesus and we looked at the water and we started to sink like Peter. But when we look throughout the Bible, we are reminded, usually gently, that our hope is in Jesus' love and sacrifice on the cross. Jesus told us we would have trials and tribulations, but we should take heart because he has overcome the world. So again, when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he knows the hope of Christ. Paul wrote of joy and hope and perseverance and love despite being stoned nearly to death, beaten regularly, jailed constantly, and under the threat of death and torture on a virtual daily basis. But Paul knew that there was hope and joy and love in Christ regardless of the worldly circumstances. He knew that no matter what happened to him on this side of eternity, it was short and the troubles were small when you look at it at that eternal perspective. God promises that his mercies are new each day. He never tires and he never runs out of energy. He never runs out of mercy. He never runs out of grace. So trust in the Lord, your God, no matter what is happening in the world. God is on his throne. Jesus is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is here with us. Look to the mountaintop where God sits. Don't let your focus be on the valleys that we are facing. God is eternal. These valleys are not. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your ears on the Holy Spirit. Focus on God. God is the ultimate supplier of hope in the chaos. He will carry us through. It's not easy. But the rewards of that intimacy you feel and you experience with God when trusting him in the storms is beyond worth it. It's beyond words. So let's revisit that passage one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So I hope that you feel hope. I hope that you feel encouraged, knowing that what we see is not all there is. There is hope. And we need to fix our gaze on the things that we cannot see. That sounds kind of contradictory, but we have to think eternally. We have to think about the kingdom of God. Fix our gaze, our focus on the things that we cannot see, but the things that we believe in and hope for. So again, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. I hope that that encourages you. And that was our Devotions with Dave segment. And now we go on to our interview with the amazing, the fun, the just inspiring Candace Kirkpatrick. We listen to her testimony, her story, and hear a little bit about Vindication season number 2, which is currently in production. And we get to talk about that and a whole lot more as we bring Candace in to the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory. And I'm now joined by Candace Kirkpatrick. She's an actress. She's a phenomenal talent. And we're just really excited to share her story and hear about some upcoming projects that she's got going on. So, Candace, thank you so much for joining us here on the Gifts for Glory podcast. How are you?
I am doing well, and I am honored to be here, Dave. Truly am.
And we connected recently because we were both on the Maurice Brown comedy show. Really enjoyed your interview with him and chatting about different things. And you know, Maurice was just a lot of fun to talk to, so it was really cool that we got to connect because we were both on his show the same day.
Yes, and I was thrilled because I tuned in to listen to your show as well. And I tell you, I get so pumped how God uses his children. And when I was hearing what your gifts and your passions are and how you use them for the kingdom, that just, I mean, I'm like doing, you know, jumping jacks, cheerleading, high-fiving the Lord, because that makes me so excited. And later on in the talk, I'll tell you about my recent friendship with a snowboarder. So anyway, okay. But thanks. Awesome. Thanks so much for your time with Maurice and then inviting me to be on your show.
Absolutely. One of the things that really caught my ear during your interview is not only how, but the fact that you are a part of Vindication Season 2. It's one of my favorite shows that came out. First season was this year, and obviously COVID has kind of played games with Season 2. But you're a part of Season 2, and you're going to be one of the main saint characters in Season 2. Tell us from your perspective, a little bit about Vindication and what we can see out of your character.
Okay, first of all, I'm praying she does remain a mainstay character. She's not one of the leads, but she is a supporting character that I'm thrilled to play and to be a part of. I love the series, and Vindication is a faith-based crime drama. And so each episode is only 30 minutes long, and they're solving crimes, but they're also dealing with what is going on in the main detective's family life, as well as his own spiritual transformation. What I love about it is that it deals with issues that are relevant to what we are seeing in this world and what our kids are facing. It deals with cyberbullying and sex trafficking and how we treat people who are different than ourselves,
yeah.
Addictions, you know, addicts, again, is there healing? Is there grace? And one of the things I love is that there's no profanity. There's no sex scenes. They're not necessary to tell these stories. And yet these stories are completely relevant.
Right. Right.
So, I play Detective Travis' assistant. You know, one that kind of keeps him on track and in order and going what he needs to get done. And normally I play very, very heavy dramatic roles, and this is a definite departure from that. So given the heaviness of the season, I'm actually thrilled to play something that's, she's a little perky, a little feisty, and a little punchy there. So I'm thankful. And I'm honored.
So it's very interesting because, as I said, I'm a huge fan of the show. So it's now we've got yet another female character that's surrounding Detective Travis that's really going to give him some more depth and more growth in his maturity as a man and as a man of God. Because watching season one, there was this really interesting parallel between his relationship with his daughter and with his partner Chris, because they both seemed to kind of bounce him back and forth as he was going down the road and seeing him grow that way. So now we got another female influence that seems that's going to be a part of that.
Well, his wife played, first of all, I want to say Todd Terry does an incredible job as Detective Travis. He is worth watching. Jared O'Flaherty, who is the director, has done a great job casting the main leads for this. And Peggy Schott, who plays Todd Terry's wife, also does a good job buffering Detective Travis.
Yes. You know,
she is speaking and praying and holding him accountable and pressing into him. And my character is sometimes giving him a little flack. So we shall see how helpful my character proves for his spiritual growth.
And the other thing about Vindication that I really enjoyed in the first season was there's this almost like M. Night Shyamalan twist to each episode where like it felt like you're going one direction and then you're like, oh, okay, I see that. And the one I'll point to is you mentioned the sex trafficking was reverse trafficked. There was that episode that handled that. And you kind of wondered, is this the one episode where they're actually going to stick to what seems to be obvious, and then it completely blows you away.
Yeah, and that particular episode has won a lot of awards.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is one of the things I do love about the show. It takes you where you're not expected to go.
Yeah.
And then you're always, though, happy at the end at where you arrive. Mm-hmm. Again, as I said on the Maurice Brown show, it never gets tied up with a nice, beautiful little bow at the end because that's just not life. It's not realistic. Right. But you see the growth. You see the transformation. You see that God is working. And I think Jared has just assembled. He does a lot of the writing, most of the writing, almost all of the directing. He has great DP and people around him and great acting group. But he said, when I talked to him, he does not watch other detective shows.
Okay.
He doesn't want to take anything that he has seen and like kind of like, oh, work it into anything. He really prays about each episode and where the Lord would have the direction go of that particular episode. Yeah. So
it's a phenomenal show. Between that and The Chosen, I think Christian TV series have just jumped leaps and bounds in the last couple of years, and these two shows are leading the way. So it's really exciting to see that we're no longer the hokey, boring, lame. We can actually appeal to broader audiences than just the church crowd, I think.
I totally agree with you, and those are two of my absolute most favorite TV series. The Chosen is beautiful in its portrayal of Christ and his disciples and all the things that are going on during biblical time. And also, you know, I mean, Dallas Jenkins has surrounded himself with biblical scholars and messianic rabbis, etc., to continually make sure that he is authentic in his storytelling. And it's beautiful, though, he has taken some liberty to kind of flesh out what these characters would, I can't say characters, they're real life people, but he has made characters of the apostles, what their life would be apart from the dialogue that they have in the written word of God, yet being truthful to the written word of God. And it gives this human aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, does a beautiful job in his portrayal of God's, of Christ's mercy and love and grace and humor, etc. So I just applaud both of these gentlemen. And what I'm also thrilled about is that both of these are in so many other countries.
Yes.
The Chosen is in almost every single country, and it has now been translated. So rather than just dubbed in that language, it is being almost translated in every single language in order to, because a lot of people who cannot read the subtitles,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and it's impacting the world. And on a fun note, the other day, Jared O'Flaherty posted the German version of Vindication. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, to me, when the gospel goes forth in other languages, I get so incredibly excited. I was at a conference recently, the Christian Worldview Film Festival, where the Kendrick brothers spoke
mm-hmm.
about the success of Overcomer. And then that somebody came to Alex and Steve and said, this film is not done yet. God has other plans for it. And then they said, okay. And then the next thing you know, they are invited to speak in Brazil, where it is like was the number one box office film. And then they get letters during COVID that Muslim countries are seeing Overcomer and giving their life to Christ.
Wow.
To me, when you hear that, that's completely validation that what you are doing matters, because ultimately that should be our goal.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
The salvation of others, that others can see for themselves that Christ is who he says he is and that he loves them and has a plan for them. So that to me is when I think we have done our job as artists.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? When you can produce something that both, you know, edifies and uplifts the body, but is also able to give the truth to the seeker. When you're able to do that through your art, you're really accomplishing something. And the productions that we're mentioning right now, Vindication, The Chosen, the Kendrick Brothers movies, especially War Room and Overcomer, I think that they are accomplishing those feats.
Yes, and also now, too, the Irwin Brothers, like I Can Only Imagine and I Still Believe. They're, I think the latter is winning, is up for a People's Choice Award.
Yeah.
Right now. But I mean, when it crosses cultural boundaries and then enters other countries and gets translated in other languages, and, you know, when Dallas Jenkins read online some letters he was receiving from China, that they were in lockdown, but they were thankful that they were able to get The Chosen.
Wow.
And how it was changing hearts and lives, you realize that, you know, okay, we're in lockdown, but, you know the passage in Isaiah 55, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish all I desire and complete the work, you know.
Absolutely. That's where,
you know, you can shut down, you can put down lockdowns, but God's word will go forth and go out. And
amen.
That, I'm telling you, Dave, just makes me excited.
Absolutely. It's amazing, and it's so encouraging to see that we're seeing true production happen. And this is not to disparage the efforts from before, where it was, kind of like the Hallmark Christian movies, but now to see more reality and more cross-cultural reach, it's really encouraging. It's really exciting. And, you're going to be a part of Vindication Season 2 and beyond. I believe you've got other things in the works too, right? You've got another production coming up as well.
Yes, I don't want to ever take credit for this. I need to make sure that gets clear, mm-hmm. cleared up. These are all God-ordained and orchestrated. As I told you, I'm talking to you from my prayer closet right now. And so I wrote 2019 when somebody pressed me to say, hey, who are people you would like to work with in this industry? The first name I wrote down on the list was Karen Abercrombie. As you know, she mm-hmm. plays Miss Clara in the War Room. And I was blessed to meet her last year, 2019, in May at a film festival in Orlando called the International Christian Film Worldview Film, no, International Christian Film Festival. Anyway, at the film festival, she was one of the speakers, and I got to hear her. I signed up to hear her speak, and that was worth the entire conference for me. Not only is she, I mean, she is a gifted actress, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
She's also an incredibly talented musician. And she was, I think, for years, a worship leader at a large church and stuff. She's also a writer. She's also a producer. She's also a director. Well, what she said, though, was not about her. It was about trusting God and how he's working and how he's moving. And in spite of you trying to control and manipulate all these things, he doesn't need your help. He is working, okay? And mm-hmm. what she was saying was moved me. And so at the end of the talk, I went up to her afterwards, and I just said, what you shared with me was worth the entire conference. I could go home now. It doesn't matter anything else. And she said, the Lord has shown me I'm going to work with you.
Mm.
And I said to her, well, may the Lord make it so. And then I walked away, thought, well, how kind of her. She must say that to everyone. But Lord, please, that would be such an honor. And then fast forward, end of February this year, she messaged me and said, I need to call you. And she and I had not communicated. This was May of 2019, the end of February. So she then called me and said, I've written a TV pilot, and there's a role for you that I've written. Again, it's not she and I have been having conversations. It's not like she has said, hey, I've seen your work. Da, da, da. She said, I've written this role for you, and I've created it for you. And then she said to me, no, God created this role for you before the foundation of time.
Mm.
And you know that is from the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I say I can take no credit. Anyway, she's put together a TV pilot. We shot the pilot, and she's already written all the other episodes. She's put together a pilot that shows, again, completely relevant to what we're experiencing in our country. But she plays an angel, and it's called Angels Unaware. She plays an angel. The gifted, talented Cameron Arnett from Overcomer plays also an angel, not saying what kind of angel he plays. But anyway, what you see is people at crisis moments where they can make a decision that will completely alter their life or the circumstances around them. And she appears in a character that would be believable in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just speaking to them and presenting, you know, one option where if you could pull back the veils of what is happening in the spiritual realm, you could see that, you know, it says we wage our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness in the spiritual realms.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that that's what's going on. And this person is at this moment where they can decide, and there are voices coming at them from both sides, and they have to make a decision. And how does that impact them and everyone else around them? So it is incredibly well done. It is directed by Joanne Hawk, and it has really talented actors in the cast. And I play the role of Sister Anne. I keep God's word. I keep the prophecy. And anyway, I am so honored, humbly honored to be a part of this and to work with Karen and Cameron and others on this pilot. Because, yes, I do believe there is entertainment. There's entertainment that can entertain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, I just want to be entertained. But to me, I think the greater reward is entertainment that entertains, but it challenges you to examine your walk, examine yourself, question, what do I believe? How do I treat my neighbor? How am I going to move forward in what I just saw? Does that change me? Should it alter me? Should it cause me to repent? Should it cause me to say I'm sorry to someone, go love somebody differently? And so to be connected to what Angels Unaware and with this group of talented people with a heart for the Lord and a love for other people and for the broken and what's going on in our culture, that is truly an honor that is, again, a gift from the Lord and not of myself.
Amen. And based on what you said regarding Cameron Arnett's character, it seems like that when he and Carrie Abercrombie get together, he usually gets cast as somebody that's not very likable because discarded things that just came out on PureFlix. He plays a pastor that you don't really like very much. And I really encourage that film as well because it's another one of those that is very gritty, it's very truthful, it's very real. And so that's with Karen Abercrombie and with Cameron Arnett. It's a really great film.
Well, he has done lots of things with Karen where he's actually played a good guy and is her husband or something like that as well.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
In Discarded Things, he is not a likable person. But again, a script she has written to be relevant. That film is on PureFlix.
Mm-hmm.
And Vindication is available on PureFlix, on Amazon Prime, and on Christian Cinema, and even on Redeem TV. Redeem TV, you can subscribe for free. They, if you choose, you can see all 10 episodes of Vindication in English or in Spanish. But awesome. Karen has, I've seen Karen and Cameron in about 3 or 4 other productions as well, and he's a nice person.
Okay. I'll have to look for those.
But I do recommend seeing Discarded Things as well.
Absolutely.
She does such an incredible job, and it has won several awards, including her for Best Actress and Cameron for Best Supporting Actor. So
nice. Awesome. All right. So, Kins, I want to dive in and hear a little bit more about you and your personal walk. So what we do on the Gifts for Glory podcast is we want to share testimonies and hear about journeys of faith. So I understand that you found the Lord at a very young age, but it didn't go very smoothly because, but I'll let you tell it. How did you come to know the Lord and, what was your journey like with Jesus?
Okay. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents, got married. And they divorced by the time I was age 4.
Mm.
At age 6, I went to a church briefly. Briefly. I'm talking maybe 1 or 2 times total. By getting on this, you know, they used to have Sunday school buses that would go around.
Right.
And I went into the Sunday school class and I heard the message. I heard the gospel message. I was 6 years old. And in my head, I said, wow, they've got something different and I don't have it and I want it. What is it? And so I sought out the teacher afterwards and heard the gospel and the plan of salvation. And I asked to be baptized. I was then baptized, but then we quit going to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I shared in an interview, I think with Maurice, I think, because of my parents' divorce, we were part of the time with my mom, part of the time with my dad. So I think I went to 10 different schools before reaching high school. And this is the part, I guess, I would share that, you know, was hard. There was so much dysfunction in my household. I mean, there was nothing that you could count on that this is true and it's going to be true tomorrow.
Okay.
And I just wanted things to be different. So I was a perfectionist. I mean, I say this in truth because if it will encourage anyone else, then that is the whole point of this story. I was the president of almost every club. I was, you know, the student council body president. I was valedictorian of high school. I was valedictorian of undergrad. I was at the top of the class in graduate school. And I just wanted to do everything excellent. So I presented to the world that I had it all together.
Mm.
Now, meanwhile, I had my faith in the Lord, and I continued to go to church by myself. So one of the places that we lived when we were with my mom, I would just walk to the church. It was only, you know, it was less than a quarter of a mile. It was, I mean, really close to our house. So I just went to church by myself, and I continued to go. But there was never, and this is, I guess, something I would encourage too, there was never, ever anyone in my life that was encouraging me in my spiritual walk with the Lord. So it was just me and God all that time. And so I really wish, it's funny, as when in high school, in my senior yearbook, one of my teachers said, "You love Candace when Candace does well. You need to love Candace when she doesn't have all the right answers and she doesn't, isn't the number one, you know, doesn't make the straight A's or doesn't whatever." And I didn't even know what she meant.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't right until years later when after I got finished graduate school, I trained, I have a bachelor's and master's in fine arts. I trained in method acting. I trained with, you know, in the Stanislavski method and Uta Hagen and Stella Adler. And then my master's was several years in Sanford Meisner. So I was well trained in my craft, but because of my just childhood and upbringing, you know, in a lot of these, you have to create an as if, like, this happened to you as if, like, try to find something that you can correlate to help you get to this emotional moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case for me. I have enough baggage from childhood that I can identify with anything that anyone is going through. So I don't have to create some as if scenario. So, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to New York and thought, you know what? I'm just going to do this because this is what I have wanted to do. Even though I got a lot of flack growing up because they're like, "You're so smart. Why would you become an actress? You know, waste your life, you know?" I mean, people were actually embarrassed for me. Like, you know, "I can't believe you would do that." But anyway, I went to New York and that's what I felt that I wanted to do and that God had called me to do. So I got an agent. I was working. I was doing a lot of shows across the country. And I did shows outside of the country. I traveled throughout the Ukraine and England and, you know, doing plays. Wow. And then I was getting small parts in TV and film. And very small roles. I mean, small recurring roles, but small. Nothing important. And then my agent gave me a script to read for a show that was brought there from Toronto. And he said, "Candace, they're replacing the cast and they would like to see you. Go see the show." But I went and saw the show. It was so incredibly offensive that I called my agent and I said, "There's no way I would audition for this." And he's like, they asked to see you. And I said, "Have you seen this show?" And he goes, "No, but it's a huge hit. It's a huge success. You should do it. You should audition for this." And I said, "No, I cannot do this." And I don't know if I said as a believer or as a Christian, but I used one of those sentences to him. And he said, "You need to separate your religion from your work. They have nothing to do with one another."
Wow.
And I said, "I'm sorry. Regardless of my faith, I would not do this show, and I advise you to go look at it." I mean, it was offensive as just being kind.
Right, right.
And it was at the time of, it was, how far can we push the envelope before somebody says, you know, "Oh, okay, enough." Well, this was really pushing it. And then I started getting offers for film roles and larger parts. One of them I did get cast in, but because they had to cut, that was a good film, and they had to cut 45 minutes out of the film, so there went my character.
Oh, man.
But that's okay. God is sovereign. I don't know. Then I got an offer for another part, and it was a very nice role, but then I read she changes at the end, and I thought, this takeaway message I cannot support. I will not support. And so I'm asking the Lord about it. And then in my arrogance, again, I told the Lord, I said, you know, God, I should do this because then with this money I get from this, then I can do these uplifting, God honoring, glorifying things. And which is, you know, offensive to the Lord anyway, but he in his abundant mercy spoke very clearly to me. He used that passage in Samuel where Samuel is talking to Saul and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And he said, but in my case, Candace, to obey is better than compromise. And he said, I don't want your compromise. I want your obedience. So I turned down the film. My agents were upset with me. And then they also said stuff like, well, if you don't do this, we'll find somebody who will. And so I sought out wise counsel. And after much, much prayer, I left the business.
More of the Gifts for Glory podcast in just a moment. Our host, Dave Ebert, is now accepting bookings for your next event. Dave specializes in improv coaching to improve self-esteem, team camaraderie, communication, creativity, and developing your own unique voice. Improv is an amazing tool to learn how to listen actively, respond appropriately, and communicate more efficiently, all while having an absolute blast. For churches and ministries, ask about our Improv Your Witness workshop, designed to get you out of your own way when sharing the gospel and your testimony. For information, contact booking at giftsforglory.com. Booking at gifts4glory.com. Booking at giftsforglory.com. We'll be back with more of this amazing conversation next on the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory.
Hardee's invites you to creamy, zesty, fiery hand-breaded bliss. Join us for hand-breaded chicken tenders dipped in new fiery sauce, only at Hardee's. Feed your happy. Available for a limited time at participating Hardee's restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
Here's three great reasons to get the new Samsung Galaxy S21 5G at T-Mobile. One, it's free for both current and new customers when you trade in an eligible device. Two, T-Mobile's the leader in 5G coverage. So, three, you can unleash 5G speeds in more places with your new phone. Get the new Galaxy S21 free at T-Mobile, the leader in 5G coverage.
Phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. If you cancel, credit stop and balance on required finance agreement may be due. Contact us. Qualifying credit and consumer plan required. See details at T-Mobile.com.
He, in his abundant mercy, spoke very clearly to me. He used that passage in Samuel where Samuel is talking to Saul and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And he said, but in my case, Candace, to obey is better than compromise. And he said, I don't want your compromise. I want your obedience. So I turned down the film. My agents were upset with me. And then they also said stuff like, well, if you don't do this, we'll find somebody who will. And so I sought out wise counsel. And after much, much prayer, I left the business. I felt God was calling me out of the business. And, you know, I've never shared this with anybody, but I think, you know, it was probably wise because, you know, compromise is a slippery slope.
Right.
You make an allowance in this area and you think, oh, it's a small thing. And you don't realize before long, you are so far off your target. So I think probably it was wise. He said, I need to obey. I need your obedience and not your compromise. So I began teaching women's Bible studies. I was then singing on a worship group. I was serving in a ministry where we sang in homeless shelters. And
that's nice.
I was teaching kids. I was heading up like a deaconess where I worked with women's ministry at the church. And had started having my own family. And then later on, I started writing and directing for schools and churches. But during that time, while I was still acting, before I left, my father had a horrible, horrible accident, and he was burned up in a fire.
Mm.
And he I mean, second to third degree burns on 75% of his body. He was in the hospital for 2 months while they were just scraping off his skin. But anyway, he, as I said, you know, I did not grow up in a Christian home. At that time, the Lord convicted him of all of his sin and his rebellion. And he called me up and he said, God has spoken to me and I need to read the Bible every day. Will you commit to read the Bible with me every day? And I said, absolutely, I will do that. And so then he started calling me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, like, Candace, what are you doing? I'm going, I'm sleeping. He said, ah, you can sleep later. Get open your Bible. Now flip open to Ezekiel. Now I want you to flip over to Revelation. Now go back to Daniel. And we were doing Bible studies at weird hours for I don't know how long. And that is also what encouraged my spiritual growth. Because things that I had thought, plays that I thought, that's brilliant writing. That's great writing. And then I would see them on Broadway. As I said, I was living in New York City, so I had, you know, could see anything. And I started looking at them. It was like God removed these scales from my eyes and said, and I was like, wow, this does not honor the Lord. And it was something that I had thought, man, this is brilliant. And here I'm looking at it with fresh eyes going, no, this is not honoring him. I don't enjoy this. And I started then at that time being selective in not only what I auditioned for, but what I was witnessing until God called me out. And then just, again, I was felt like Hezekiah. I was laying every script before the Lord. Lord, you see what is written here. What do you want me to do? So anyway, but that is my faith journey, because since then I have been teaching Bible for, I'd say, over 2 decades. My heart is that people will come to know him personally as their Lord and Savior by searching his word and seeing what he has for them. You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has children. He doesn't want us, you know, he wants people to know him individually, not oh, my mom knows him, or my aunt knows him, or my grandmother knows him. No, he wants an individual relationship with each of us. And I think the word is dynamic. You know, it says it's live and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Right. I honestly believe that. I believe that it is. And God's truth is awesome, because it is the only book where the writer wants to have a personal relationship with us.
Amen.
And so his word is new every morning. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful that he called me out of the business when he did. I'm thankful for how he used me while I was, you know, during that this past several decades. And I'm thankful that he has brought me back into it with far more clarity and a higher purpose.
Absolutely. So what was the time frame? When did you officially decide to step away from the business of acting and performing? And at what point did you jump back in?
It was in the middle of the middle of the 90s, maybe 96 when I left. Because I was looking for, when I honestly started looking for Christian entertainment, like faith-based family or entertainment, Worldwide Productions, it called Worldwide Productions, that Billy Graham had. And he had Jeanette Clifton George, he did put out the, what was it called? The Hiding Place.
Oh, yeah.
About that time. But other than that, there was nothing. There was nothing being done, except that there was a, forgive me, I'm drawing a blank on his name. There was a, he records the Bible. He's got an incredible voice. You could hear him. Starts with an M. He records the Bible. If you ever want to hear the Bible done, very well. But he also performs one-man shows, Book of John or the Book of Luke or the Book of Mark or whatever. He travels around. I saw his show, and he was phenomenal. A gifted actor, one who loves the Lord. But other than that, nothing. And I saw some other productions. I was, again, wanting to do things that honored him, and I found some, and they were done so poorly. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but they were done so poorly. And the people's response, but we're doing it for the Lord. And that broke my heart, because we're to do everything with excellence for the Lord. He has given us his absolute best. He wants us to do likewise. So I couldn't excuse taking a pass. Oh, but we're doing it for the Lord, because the quality and the caliber and the content needs to be better than what Hollywood is putting out if we want to reach the culture.
Absolutely. Anyway,
so I left, and so I re-entered the market in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, talking about the most alarming thing was going to get new headshots, and then I looked at them and go, wow, I've aged. So anyway, getting new headshots and then getting new resumes and seeking out an agent and meeting with agents to say no. I mean, that still is the same thing. I thought, you know, I'd be beyond that. I still constantly, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to be a part of that. No, I don't want to audition for that. You know, and I did about, I don't know, 14, 15 short films. I did some industrials. I did some print work. I did some voiceovers. I did an audiobook. I did things like that. And still, but it's been very hard pressing, getting into the faith-based industry. It's a very tight-knit group, very tight-knit. And I'm thankful for these recent opportunities that I have had and to be a part of something that is, you know, done with incredibly, with excellence, with integrity, and also that is Christ exalting. I am thrilled. Absolutely. That is just an answer to prayer.
Awesome. And you bring up a very good point, and it's something that I try to profess and preach, is that we serve a God of excellence. So in all things, we should do excellence. With our productions, with our plays or movies or shows, we should strive for excellence. We don't have access to the Hollywood budgets, but that doesn't mean that we can't produce quality. And that's what excites, as we going back to the beginning of our discussion, is, you know, things like Discarded Things, Overcomer, The Irwin Brothers, and then Vindication and The Chosen. These things are done excellent. And they're not on Hollywood budgets with the Hollywood resources, but the stories, the acting, everything is done with excellence. And that's why it's so impactful, is because it's not done just say, well, it's good enough for Christians, because good enough for Christians isn't good enough.
Right. I totally agree with you. And I think also they've raised the bar in what is expected out of not just actors, but the directors and the lighting and the sound and the costumes, everything. If everybody puts on their A game and realizes that they are doing it for an audience of one, that is seen in what it, in the content. And that gives us more of a voice, like that we can actually be in the room where things are being, decisions are being made. Like, oh, we can take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much of Christian entertainment gets discarded as what you just said. Oh, that's good enough for Christians, or, you know, or that's cheesy, or that's okay. At least it has a nice, sweet message. And you're not going to reach the culture that way, because they tune off. They tune out right then. They click, turn it off. Or they write something very offensive on Amazon really quickly and then turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are putting out incredible content that is done for his honor, for his glory, then he uses it to transform hearts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things, we have two final segments with our interviews. And the first one is called the interrogation, where I throw 7 quick questions at you. They're kind of random, and we just want to get to know you a little bit better as we wrap up our conversation. So the first question of the interrogation is, what's your favorite worship song? Because you mentioned that you led worship and you performed. What's your favorite worship song to sing or perform?
I can never sing this song without crying. Even saying it makes me cry.
Oh.
It's called He Is Worthy. A guy in my church, Ben Shive, co-wrote it with Andrew Peterson, and then Chris Tomlin sings it.
Mm.
It is so incredibly powerful. I advise anyone to tune into it, watch it. It is beautiful. And then a second one, I know it's not Even If by Mercy Me.
Oh, yes. I love that one.
Because just things aren't always going well. But even if, you know, he is worthy of our praise and our honor and a glory. So those would be my two top.
Excellent choices. Question number two. What has been your favorite location to visit on set or to vacation?
Well, the Ukraine keeps coming to mind. I went there to do a show right when the wall came down. And I fell in love with the people. There was so much corruption and mafia, and there were still armored tanks going around. And I realized, you know, they didn't have toilet tissue. They didn't have, like, I bought a bunch of bananas to bring to the family I was staying with. And nobody had ever bought a bunch of bananas. You only bought one banana or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the time I went there, and yet they were so gracious. They were gracious in how they gave of themselves when having nothing during very difficult times, very difficult times. And that, I think, gives me the tremendous joy, is meeting other people in their cultures and seeing that we are more alike than we are different. And because of the love of Christ, you know, we are the same. All sinners in need of a Savior.
Absolutely. So question number three, what has been your favorite role or production that you've been a part of?
Well, I did probably about 60 or 70 plays before I left the business. And I have loved aspects of each of them. But right now, here's what I can say. I enjoy characters where you see they're broken, you see they're lost, you see all of the garbage that comes along with in the realness of them, but you see Christ's redemption. That's what I love. So I'm thrilled, as I said, to be a part of Angels Unaware and Vindication, because they're very two different characters, extremely different characters, but because of the message of each of the stories. So that's what I love being a part of, is where the message is of a God who is so much greater than the problems we are encountering.
Yeah. All right. Question four, what keeps you up at night?
Praying for the lost. I pray for the broken. I pray for the lost. I pray for those walking through tragedy. I pray through... That wakes me up all the time.
Number five, what has been the last passage that has challenged you, the last scripture that's challenged you?
Well, every day, you know, it's funny, you can read a passage a thousand times, but he has new truths to show you. And, I was praying today over some lost loved ones and some other friends who've asked me to pray for their lost loved ones. And it was, I'm flipping my Bible, so I'm sorry. It's Acts 26:18. Let me see if that's correct. Yes. And I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So that's what I've been just praying, Lord. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and salvation. And so... it's just that God loves us so much that he wants that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants that. And sometimes I just get sad that the world fills itself with so many things trying, you know, it says he has set eternity in the hearts of men.
Mm-hmm.
He created that God whole and we plug it with everything but him, you know, everything. And so I just would love for, because somehow we think God is going to withhold something from him, from us, or that he's not going to give us his best. Like somehow we're going to miss out. So we need to grasp with everything we can, all of these material things or success or things around us. And we got to get it while we can, because this is it, where he longs to give us so much more. So that scripture has just been on me today. So anyway, it's the salvation of others.
Yeah.
Because he loves them. He loves us. And his plans for us are, you know, it says, "For he longs to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine." You know?
Yeah.
And that says that in Ephesians 3:20-21 or 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to blow the doors off of what we want for ourselves. And so my prayer is that he would open their eyes. So,
amen. Amen. All right, question number 6. What has been your proudest moment?
The moment gives me the most joy and pride is when a child is walking with the Lord and they do something that is dying to self in service of somebody else, leading them to a deeper walk with the Lord, and they are so pumped to tell me about it.
Hmm. That's awesome.
That gives me tremendous, tremendous joy.
All right, and final question will be, do you have a dream role or a story that you'd most want to tell in film or on TV?
Yes, I have lots of them. Like, for example, I have to say this, you know, I'm still, you know, as I said, it's not easy to get into the faith-based film market. It's a very tight knit, and it's still like a pecking order, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still down in the chain. I'm still down there. So a lot of roles that I want, that I know that I would do a great job with, that I know, not just because of acting, but because of my personal experience, I know I could identify with this character. I can't even get the audition for because, you know, the top tier gets those auditions.
Mm.
So, and I have to think, okay, God, I'm in your hands. You see me and you will use me when and where you choose. But I will go back to my desire is to do roles that are truthful, that show that no matter how broken, how lost, how bad you have messed up, that there is a God who is infinitely larger, who is a breath away, who longs to redeem that situation, not only to restore you, but to lead others to himself. Those are the kind of roles that just I want to be a part of.
Perfect. All right. Well, Candace, the final thing I always ask of my guests is for anybody that's listening that is looking for a way or what they need in order to step into their gifts and talents and passions to serve God. What is your wise counsel for somebody that wants to use their gifts for God's glory?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm so glad because now I get to talk about the snowboarder. Okay. I created a short film during this film festival called Sorry. You can watch it on Redeem TV. It's a 10-minute film, but I created during the pandemic, during lockdown, using my iPhone, and it's about in 25 film festivals, including Brazil, London, Jamaica, etc. It's just going all over, but it's this little engine that could, far as film goes. But during watching Redeem TV, I watched some other documentaries and things that were in the film festival. And so an athlete is in a film called Death to Life. He is talking about as an athlete being injured, he got addicted to opioids.
Mm.
But how when God set him free, he is using that as a ministry called Reach, and he goes around, travels all over the United States to reach young people trapped in addictions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
During this time, I also watched a documentary called Go Tell It on the Mountain. I thought, oh, I wonder what this one's about. It's about snowboarders for Christ. Snowboarders. And I befriended the guy. His name is Brant. Is it Brant Taylor or Taylor Brant? Forgive me for messing it up. I'm not sure which one it is, if it's Brant Taylor or Taylor Brant. But he created this documentary, and he travels in war-torn areas like Bosnia, Herzegovina, and across the world giving snowboarding camps and doing two-week-long gospel. I mean, Christian camps, but teaching them snowboarding. And he said it's an incredibly dark place, snowboarders. So you're looking at snowboarders, and you can judge them and think, oh, they got long hair, they got dyed hair, they got rings in their nose or whatever like that. He has this huge ministry reaching, you know, and that's what gets me excited, is that God has, I don't want anybody to squelch their gifts, because if God has placed a gift in you, it is because he can use it for his glory to reach a sphere of people that only you can reach. So this man, watching him reach snowboarders across the world for Christ, again, got me as excited as listening to you talk about doing improv and going into all of these different places, whether it was not only the, like you said, sometimes you've been in clubs, you've been in, you know, helping with women in trafficking, you've been into homeless shelters. Whatever the gift is, I'm saying lay it before the Lord, ask him to multiply it and to use it for his honor, because he will. He has equipped us differently. He has, you know, gifted us differently, and he will use it greater than we can possibly fathom if we let him. But I think sometimes we hoard these gifts, or we want to use them for our purposes, our glory. And I'm just saying, those don't work. But when you recognize that he is the giver of God-given gifts, and the whole reason is it says that we may do our good work so that others may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. It should point to this masterful creator who gives these gifts. So if I could encourage anyone, pray about all the unique ways that God has made you and how he can use them to declare his glory. And you will be blown away.
That's good stuff right there. And what if I've checked out that that film? What was the film that you made?
It's called Sorry. S-O-R-R-Y.
And that's on Redeem TV. We'll link to Redeem TV's website in the show notes as well. But Candace, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I love your passion for the Lord, your passion for people, and your heart for the lost and the broken. And I pray God's blessings over your career, that you get more opportunities to use all the life experience and also all the training, because you went to school, you got all the training and the education. So I just pray that God will continue to use that and give you many more opportunities to do so.
Dave, it's an honor to be on your show, and I think the world of you. I do, and I am excited, as I heard you speak on Maurice's show, excited how he is using you and the ministry he has given you and the platform he is giving you to declare him and also to bring joy. Not only just the gospel and truth, but also joy to people. So thank you. Thank you.